Welcome to Hubbub, the People's Podcast, where we engage our citizens and investors with the activities of the Planning and Code Administration and encourage everyone to contribute to Hagerstown's growth.
Well, welcome to the March edition of the Hubbub Podcast. We appreciate everyone who tuned in to view or listen to our podcast this month. It's a very, very important one, wouldn't you think, Donnie?
I would say so, yeah. We've done 21 of these now. All of them are very important, but this one, as far as I can recall, is probably the best.
Yeah, see, so we've already started off on a bad note, and that'll come later. But nonetheless, yeah, you know, I just noticed that the day is, you know, really nice out there. It's nice and sunny, so that accounts for our good mood today, too.
Yes, I'm loving the warmer weather. Hopefully we're past all the snow and just got sunshine from here on out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, as many know who've been listening to our podcasts and are aware of what our department does, the first and foremost thing is safety.
Yes.
For the citizens and as it relates to codes and things. And recalls, when it comes to products and things that are recalled because they're defective, tie in very closely with some of the aspects of our work, which is why we're talking about it today. We're not talking about all recall items, but we are talking about some. And we're not going to get into the gross things about food recalls because we want people to listen.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll talk about the food. You can eat it, but would highly advise against it. So recently there was an ignition recall on my car. But I guess we're off to a bad start, huh? Not a fan of my bad dad jokes.
Okay. Maybe we can get Eric to edit that out. I can't promise you anything. If you hear it, you know what happened. But carry on.
Thanks. So, like Sean mentioned, we're not going to talk about all the recalls out there. But the importance of it is, you know, what it comes down to is the safety. I don't know if a lot of you may remember a few years ago when Samsung, the electronics brand, came out with this Galaxy Note 7 phone. They had issues where the batteries would overheat and the batteries would end up exploding. So as you can imagine, this is a huge safety issue and ended up being recalled by the proper authorities there. You couldn't even get on a plane if you had one. It was that serious. So that was a pretty crazy recall that I can recall somewhat recently.
Yeah, you know, and I heard about that too. It was, you know, made the news pretty good. But, you know, when things don't affect you personally, you really don't give them too much thought. Oh, yeah, that's bad. I hope they do something about it.
Right.
But interestingly enough, a recent experience with me was with a phone. It wasn't the Galaxy Note 7, and it wasn't any fault of the manufacturer. And that's why I'm not even going to name it. It was totally my fault. But, you know, to experience something similar made me appreciate why these recalls. Because I was messing with my phone. I was doing a repair. I tried to pry the battery out of it. Next thing I know, it's going off like a sparkler on the 4th of July. Start smoking. And I'm in the house, mind you. And it's filled up the house. Now, I can just imagine on a plane, but it's filled up the whole living room with the smoke. So I run for the door. I chuck it out. Side, throw it in the mulch bed, and as soon as it hits the mulch bed, that thing goes up in flames.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, when this is happening, I'm thinking about the Galaxy Note 7. I'm thinking, is this thing going to explode? So, you know, that's why I chucked it. And it was some noxious gases. I was feeling like a headache for a sec.
Yeah. You don't know what was going to happen next, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, they of course, these things, when it comes to recalls, especially if there's been injuries or things like that, or even deaths, they hit close to home. And so that's why we're doing this podcast.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you and your family were okay after that incident. It's funny to laugh at now, but I'm sure in the moment it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
All right. So whenever we're talking about recalls, who actually regulates them? Well, it's the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. And they inform the public about product recalls, and they can be found at www.cpsc.gov. And a business or consumer can report or search for recalls at the Consumer Product Safety Commission or the CPSC in an independent federal regulatory agency that was formed in 1972 by Congress under the Consumer Product Safety Act. So it's a little bit of background on the agency themselves. And their mission is to protect the public against unreasonable risk of injury or death from consumer products. And this is achieved through education, safety standards activities, regulation, and enforcement. You know, that's kind of what we're doing here with the podcast too, just educating everybody where these recalls come from. So the CPSC has three offices. We have two local to us where we produce the podcast. Two of the three are located in Maryland. One is in Bethesda, and the other Maryland office is in Rockville. The other office is located in Beijing, China. And so what does the CPSC actually do? To name a few things, they develop voluntary standards with standards organizations, manufacturers, and businesses. They also research potential product hazards. And, you know, from what I understand, they're always looking for test dummies. So, Sean, if the podcast thing just doesn't work out for you, maybe you could go volunteer to be a test dummy for the products. Does that sound interesting?
Well, I mean, I was taught that nobody likes being a dummy.
No.
So I really haven't aimed that
given
direction.
Any thought?
No.
All right. Sounds good. Whatever. So they also educate manufacturers worldwide about regulations, supply chain integrity, and development of safe products. And finally, they also ban consumer products if there's no feasible standard that would protect the public. So that, you know, kind of touches on what we talked about earlier with the Galaxy Note 7 phone. You know, this product was banned because it was a potential standard to the public and there was no way to fix the actual issue. So
yeah,
that's a little background on what the CPSC actually does.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad, large website, very, very informative. And that website, or the organization CPSC, does a lot in the way of regulation. And it's important to know, you know, what this does, especially as a consumer, whether, you know, business or consumer, to know what they regulate. Because this organization, they regulate really thousands of types of consumer products, anywhere from hazardous substances, dishwashers, you know, typical appliances, toys, all-terrain vehicles, sleepwear, generators, I mean, you name it, it just goes on and on with all kinds of household appliances and products that you may have in the home. So it's really good to be familiar with those recalls and which products they regulate. Now, we should add that the CPSC does not regulate a lot of things. For example, automobiles, on-road vehicles, you know, those types of things. You have tobacco and firearms. We talked about food a moment ago. Pesticides, you know, there's a lot of things that the CPSC does not regulate. And granted, it can be confusing to really understand what the CPSC regulates and what it doesn't, because there are other governing jurisdictions that regulate some of the things that we just mentioned. So the CPSC has made it somewhat easy, because if you go on their website, they have links to the other organizations that regulate the various products that it itself does not regulate. So, in other words, it's going to tell you what they regulate, and if they don't regulate it, they're going to tell you who does. So how does the CPSC regulate the products? Well, it's a number of steps that they go through. When they're looking at products, they're looking at manufacturer of children's products, and they're going to certify that those products meet minimum standards and rules. They're going to ensure that they've been tested thoroughly by a third-party lab and that it is an accredited organization. So not only do they regulate or help us to see what the recalls are, but they ensure that the products are getting out there as much as possible, tested, and meet minimum standards. So, you know, the CPSC has a lot of knowledge and a huge database of these products. And one question that may come to mind is, well, if this product doesn't work, is there a specific brand or a product that you could recommend? And we think that they might provide that answer, right? Mm-hmm. There's other organizations, and we can look up reviews and find those things. But the CPSC itself does not do that. And we can understand the reasoning behind that when we explain it, because we get a similar question. You know, in code enforcement, we'll go out to a property, and we may see something that's defective. And we say, well, you're going to have to replace that. And then tenant or the owner says, well, can you recommend somebody? Can you recommend something? Well, we can't. And the reason is because of the perception that would create, right? I go out there and I say these are all in violation, and then the perception is I'm trying to help my buddy who sells these products or offers these services, and you know, there's kind of a, you know, a little action going on there.
Yeah, nothing good could come of that, you know. Then you get into people doing, you know, saying things are wrong for all the wrong reasons, you know. So this just avoids that. It's purely looking out for the consumer themselves. And so, as I touched on earlier, why are products actually recalled to begin with? So the CPSC announces recalls of products that present a significant risk to consumers, either because the product could contain a defect or because it violates a mandatory safety standard. If you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you can search for us by searching PCAD Hagerstown. You'll notice that we'll post recalls that relate to our office periodically. You know, some examples of our posts about the recalls are the Universal Security Instruments smoke alarms. They have a risk of failure to alert consumers of a fire, which is its primary purpose, so it's a very big deal. Pass and Seymour, commercial grade electrical receptacles. The issue with that was a manufacturing error within the receptacle could lead to plug blades overheating, posing a burn risk to the consumer. Another one we featured was the Triangle Tube Gas Boiler, and this was recalled due to risk of carbon monoxide hazard, which, you know, we've discussed thoroughly back in episode 6, if you wanted to go back and learn a little bit more about carbon monoxide. And finally, another one we featured was the Hampton Bay Indoor-Outdoor Ceiling Fans, and this was recalled because the fan blades can detach from the fan while in use, which, you know, you picture that in your mind, that's kind of frightening, you know, if you're just chilling out on your, wherever you are with this fan and the blade starts flying off, could pose some big danger for sure. Yeah. And you could be thinking that, you know, I don't have these type of products in my home, but many of these items are actually sold in our big box home improvement stores. The chance always exists that you could have one of these products in your home. Like that Hampton Bay one that was sold at a big box retailer that anybody could have went out and just got. So it wasn't just a commercial product.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, you know, you gave some nice examples of products sometimes that can be recalled. That's just a few examples. And so when those things happen, now questions arise. Okay, now what do I do? I've got one of these products on my home. I see that there's a recall on it. Now what do I do? Well, most likely in many cases, such as the ceiling fan, obviously we want to stop using the product. Right. You don't want to roll the dice and keep using the product, hoping that it doesn't fail. So oftentimes that's the situation. In fact, if you go to the CPSC's website and you find the item that maybe is recalled, in a lot of cases, that's what it tells you to do. It'll give you some direction. It said, stop using this product right away. So that's something that you want to do. And then, you know, visit those announcements. And then what they're going to do in turn is they're going to tell you what you need to do to solve that problem. Either they're going to tell you how to replace the product, they're going to tell you, you know, where to take it to get it repaired, or they may even say, hey, you'll get a refund for that particular product. Now, and another thing that's really important for products that are recalled is to know that there's really not a statute of limitations. And that makes sense. In other words, there's not a certain amount of time that goes by that now that recall doesn't apply. That makes sense. Just because some years have gone by doesn't make it less safe, right? So they're going to honor that. There's really no end date to product recalls. So again, the same guidance would apply here. You know, follow the guidance in the recall notice that the CPSC issues. You can also call the company that actually had the recall. And usually they'll have a toll-free number or their website that you can visit. And that information is usually provided along with that recall product on the CPSC website. So now you've taken that step. Now what if you've tried to reach out to the company who actually had the recall product? What if you can't get a hold of them? Well, CPSC does have a toll-free hotline, which is 1-800-638-2772. So you can call them, or you can even send an email to them through their contact form on their website. So there are a number of steps here that a person can take to be able to easily solve a situation. It's not going to cost you anything. A little bit of time that could perhaps eliminate a lot of risk for your family.
Absolutely. And as Sean mentioned, the CPSC website, whenever they post these recalls, they do a great job of getting the information out there of how to contact either manufacturer, the CPC directly, or the retailer if it was coming from that one retailer themselves. So when a product is recalled by a particular company, such as the ones we mentioned earlier, is it unsafe to use their products? The short answer is no. Each recall that the CPSC announces applies only to the specific brand and model identified in the recall announcement. And as I mentioned, they do make this very clear of which model that is. In many cases, the recall applies to only products manufactured and specific time periods. And so let's say you have a product in your home that has been recalled. Does that mean you get your money back? Not necessarily. There is no one-size-fits-all remedy for these recalled products. Remedies typically consist of a refund, a repair, or a replacement. The remedy for consumers is described in each recall announcement. And, you know, we provided a lot of information about consumer product safety in this podcast, and we obtained the information for this podcast from the Consumer Product Safety Commission website, and we'd recommend that you visit the website for more information on that. You can be alerted by product recalls if you go to the website. They have a newsroom where you can subscribe, and we will link to that in the description of this podcast if you are interested. That's how we learn about a lot of the recalls that affect our office by those emails. You can also follow the CPSC on Twitter. And of course, on their website, the CPSC lists all their recalls. Yeah, and as I mentioned, I highly recommend signing up for those emails. They're very beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in looking at the website too, this CPSC, they do a really good job in being proactive in educating. It's not like you've got to be an expert on recalls and things like this. You just need to know what you need to know about products. And so they have a lot of safety education materials there. You can go into the website and you can really break it down as far as you want. You can search by category and then break it down even further to whatever product you have. And so it'll bring up any recalls, if there are any, with that particular product. And all this information is pretty much free. And you can even order safety materials online by sending an email to their email server. It's info@cpsc.gov. info@cpsc.gov. So if you have a question about a specific product and you see it there, it's helpful to put in that document number and the name and the number of copies that you want in your email so that you get the right information. And they have their products in English and Spanish, and occasionally they'll have it in other language as well. So worst case scenario, what happens if you or your family member is harmed because of a product that's been recalled? What should you do as it relates to CPSC? Well, certainly they want you to report it to them. And you know, any safety concerns or about a consumer product, certainly report that through their website. Sometimes what can happen is they may not know how widespread a product issue is until somebody reports it. And if you report it, you may not be the only one. You could be one of hundreds or thousands. You wouldn't know it. But unless you report it along with everyone else, they really don't know where to go. So it's important to report that through their consumer part of their website at saferproducts.gov. Again, that's saferproducts.gov. And they also have a toll-free number that you can report that, which is 1-800-638-2772. And there's a lot of helpful information as well that CPSC can provide, even if you've been injured. So especially if you've been injured, certainly reach out to them. So this CPSC, again, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, they really put a lot of time and effort and energy into doing whatever they need to do to keep us safe. And it does take effort on our part to keep up with those recalls. When you just think about how many you know, you and I and everybody else, how many different types of products we have in our home, there's a chance that we could have a product in our home that's recalled, and we just don't know. So, you know, do our due diligence to check those things out and then, you know, take the proper steps.
Absolutely. I like what Sean said about searching for different products. The website makes it very easy. If you're having an issue, you want to see, hey, I'm having this issue a lot. Was there a recall on this specific item? You can narrow it down to that product and, you know, the model that you have and check that out for yourself. And as I mentioned earlier, our social media pages offer, you know, so much information, including these recalls, whenever they do pertain to our office. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. You can by searching for PCAD Hagerstown. And while you're there, you can also search for the Hubbub podcast. If you wanted to watch the Hubbub podcast, we are on YouTube. Or if you just want to listen to us, we're on all the major podcast platforms such as Apple, Google, Spotify, and Anchor. So now, on to Sean's favorite part of the episode, the weird news story. So lately, our weird news story has multiple items to it, and this one is no different. So this one, it comes from thrilllist.com, and it had the most bizarre product recalls. So we'll just go over a few of them here, but all of them are pretty comical, but also kind of scary. So the first one was the Don't Do Drugs pencils. So this came from the year 1998. And why were they recalled? Well, it actually suggested that kids do drugs. So a seemingly subtle part of the anti-drug curriculum taught in schools across New York, the message on these number two pencils totally backfired thanks to a slight oversight that actually encouraged kids to do drugs. So whenever the kids would sharpen the pencil, well, it would shave off the don't part of don't do drugs and say do drugs. So we'll have a picture of that one so you can get a better understanding of it. But kind of funny that no one thought that one completely through. All right, so the next one were Bath Petals soy candles. This is from 2012. Why? Explosions. All right, so nothing calms your senses quite like a soothing scented candle, right? Well, then again, nothing nullifies that feeling when the candle is burning so hot that it shatters the glass that the candle is in and actually catches fire. So that could, you know, take a little bath with your candle and all of a sudden your candle starts exploding. That's not my type of relaxed time.
Now, another good reason why not to take baths.
Speak for yourself. Anyways. All right, finally, we got the Kydex Glock holsters. All right, so this is from 2005. Why was it recalled? Well, people shot themselves. Most people who were qualified to carry a handgun are more likely well-versed in handgun safety, but all the training in the world wasn't enough thanks to these this design flaw in the holsters. So when you'd go to reholster your weapon, there'd be a failure in the holster itself, and it would fire off a round. And this flaw resulted in several incidents, including one which a police officer actually shot himself in the leg. So, you know, it just shows you, you know, some of these were kind of funny, but how serious some of these recalls can actually be. So, and I'll link to that, more of that story in the podcast description. And along with all the links, we gave a lot of links, emails, and phone numbers in this podcast. They will be in the description of the podcast so that you can visit or call them at your leisure.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for sharing those, Donnie.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, in a moment, we'll get with introducing our musical guest for the month. But before we do that, just wanted to highlight the topic for our podcast next month, April, will be on rental licensing. Now, that's going to be a very, very important one. If you're someone who owns rental properties, you'll definitely want to pay attention to the detailed information there. If you're thinking about getting into owning rental properties, you definitely want to consider that. But even if you're just a citizen, and perhaps especially if you rent in the city of Hagerstown. It would be good for you to tune into this because it's going to help you to see what's expected. It's going to, because it really has a direct effect on you as someone who perhaps rents. So we look forward to that podcast next month. So our musical guest this month, this guy really, really impressed me. Tim Litvin, he's actually out of the Pittsburgh area, but he performs locally. Not so much now with COVID, just like a lot of musical artists, but the guy is really a talented young artist, been playing music and plays the guitar since the age of 12, singer-songwriter, pretty much country music, but really talented, a nice voice. Not real well known, but he's opened up for some nice national acts such as the Eli Young Band and Dylan Scott. So yeah, he's pretty well known, and you can find him on social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you find his music on iTunes. He has a website, timlitvin.com, T-I-M-L-I-T-V-I-N.com. So yeah, really, really fun to watch and a very talented guy. So I encourage you to take a listen to Tim Litvin. And so let's catch a little bit of his music as we take our podcast out.
Everybody knows who to call when you need another beer run. Everybody knows where to stand when the party's down at the old fishing pole. Everybody knows what to do when those red and blue lights come on. Throw your beer and run like hell and just hope that you don't get caught. Man, we all been there at least once or twice. Hell, maybe even three or four times. And we all been there, yeah, we all been there. It might seem a little scary at the moment, but man, are those turning to some damn good stories. Some damn good stories about the things that everybody already knows.